The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I want to start today, brethren, by asking you, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word Thanksgiving? As we all know, the national holiday of Thanksgiving is this coming Thursday. What does this day mean to us? A time of family gatherings, that's a good thing. Turkey with dressing or stuffing, if you want to call it that. Pumpkin pie, yum. Wonderful things, right? In many countries in the world, a special day has been set aside as a national day for people to give thanks. Those official Thanksgiving days provide us a time to pause and to consider all that we have, all that we enjoy. A couple of bullets here. Thanksgiving Day is a day that we can use to express our thanks to those around us. Thanksgiving Day is a day that we can use to reflect on the truth that it is God Almighty who has provided us with our lives and all of our bounty. Because, brother, it is God that we owe the greatest thanks to. I mean, after all, He is the source. Now, please go with me to the book of Acts chapter 17. We're going to read verses 24 and 25. Acts 17:24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He gives to all life and breath and all things. If you would now go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So we see, it's pretty clear, God made all things. God is the source of giving us all things, and as it says, life and breath, all things. It should be pretty obvious that all people, especially all of the people who live in lands where God has obviously blessed, can compose a long list. A list that we might write at the top of the page of, I am thankful for. And then you start making the list. For life, for breath, for health, for friends and family, for a sense of belonging. This is my list that I started with. For safety, for beautiful skies and landscapes, for an abundance of varied kinds of foods, for entertainment, for laughter, for puppies and kittens, for old cars and trucks, for sights and sounds, for colors and textures, for the kindness and charity of others. As the verse says, for all things, and including those people who we hold in our memory who played a part in providing what we enjoy today, whether it was by simple generosity or great sacrifice. Perhaps on a field of battle, for law and order, and for all the things that make for a secure peace that we have in our lives. Yeah, we live in a troubled world. We live in a place where today there is trouble on all sides, yet we are secure. We find ourselves, as God's people, secure. We're thankful for the ability to get wealth and enjoy a sense of success. We're thankful for big things and for little things, and we are thankful for things past, present, and future. And on and on and on it could go. Brethren, we need to rejoice. We need to make Thanksgiving, upcoming holiday, a season of the heart. And that's what I have entitled this message. Thanksgiving, a season of the heart. Thanksgiving Day is a day to rejoice and to savor and to taste and to relish our blessings with maybe even a greater joy than usual. Yes, I understand that we can do this every day. We should do this every day. But when we have, as a people, as a nation, have set it aside that we can have this as a holiday, then we can certainly take advantage of that. And I think we that are God's people, God's church, members of the body of Jesus Christ, can even do it more with greater joy. It is a day to anticipate life filled with even more blessings. And it is also a good day to prepare our own list of things that we are truly thankful for. That is, and I mean by that, things that we can recount them often. I do suggest that we make a list. I do suggest that we put something like at the top of the page, I am thankful for, and then you make a list. I do suggest that we do that. Because all people, including us, can benefit by taking time to recount every single one. And you make a list and you're confirming it, and then you also have a list that we can go back to and we can reread from time to time. And we can add to, and I suggest that we would do that. There was a song out some time back, Count Your Blessings One by One. Thanksgiving can become a continual season for our hearts as we practice the giving of thanks. And by the adding to our list day by day, depending on and developing an attitude of gratitude. I think we all should probably also realize and think about it. We probably would all agree with my making this statement. As people, we all too often take for granted what circumstances, for the many circumstances that we can develop an even a greater attitude of gratitude. All too often, some of us do not recognize a blessing until it is gone, until it has disappeared. Therefore, brethren, let all of us shake off our dullness and let us wake up any cold spots in our hearts. Let's ask God to give us the eyes to see and the feeling and the response to this gratitude of thankfulness that comes from God, that comes from Him. He says He gives all things, that including a thankful heart. We do this so we can improve, or we can even expand a real sense, a real spirit, real attitude of thanksgiving by simply being alert and seeing life as the gift from God that it is. So we can ponder just how we get our bodies made in God's own image. Why did He do that? Not so much how did He do that, because we're not going to come to understand how He did it. We're going to understand and ask the question, why did He do this? Why did he make me? Why did he make us in his image to look like he looks? Why did he do that? Why did he grant us the opportunity to be born with a will, to make decisions? Who gave us our intelligence to think and to reason? Who gives us hope and faith? And with all of this, why would we not give some time and attention to the perfection and the beauty of a newborn baby's face, marveling at what God has done in this little being? Now, whether this newborn baby is a little bit older now or grandchildren, because I know some here are going to be going away for Thanksgiving to visit family and grandchildren. Look at that little child and just marvel at what God has done and the potential that God has given to this person. How thankful are we for that kind of a thing? And then what about the loyalty of a faithful mate? What about the energy and the drive to work hard and to feel and to sense and to realize the pleasure of success and achievement, a job well done? All of this comes from God. But all too often we think of, oh, it's just another day that we can eat turkey. And it is. And it is just another day that we can have these things as a family, and we sit around and we can do things as a family that we don't get to do at other times. That's true. It is a day that we pause and give thanks to God because He is the one who has given us all things. So please realize, brethren, and please also at the same time acknowledge the ability to enjoy our blessings and to be thankful. This is a gift from God in itself. In fact, the Bible actually tells us that it is a gift. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 12. Verse 12 and 13, I'm going to read this out of the New King James Versions. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God to be able to have, to be able to do this. It is a gift of God. I also think that another thing for us to think about is that for Thanksgiving, and I'm not referring to the holiday, I'm referring to the act of being thankful. For Thanksgiving to be real, it needs to be expressed. Give it a voice with a hearty thank you. Do it out loud to those who deserve it. So all of you here, thank you very much for all the things that you do. Thank you very, very much. I, from time to time, remember and I tell you thank you for all that you do, but I do it publicly here because I'm reminded that we all need to do this. Another very special way to express Thanksgiving is to be generously providing blessings to others so that they in turn might also be able to give thanks. We may also want to expand the attitude of Thanksgiving by encouraging others to give as well. We can go through some of these things with others that I have talked about of why we need to give thanks. We can encourage others with those same things. So, brother, now with those things that I've talked about in mind, I'd like for us to turn our attention now to a psalm that is considered as a psalm of thanksgiving. In fact, this psalm is the only of the 150 psalms that we have in the Bible, it is the only psalm that has as its title a psalm of thanksgiving or a psalm of praise. And when you really look at it, it's a good title, it's a good description, and of course, I am referring to Psalm 100. It's the one that we read before services today. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise, or in some translations, maybe even better, shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For or because we do all of these things, because the Lord is good, because His mercy is everlasting, and because His truth endures to all generations. Yeah, I read in some words, but that's the sense of all of this. So I want at this point, I want us to break down this psalm point by point, and I want us to just to see what it is telling us, and maybe even some lessons that we can have in mind as we enter into this holiday that's coming up a few days away. First, we see that there is not a single or somber or sad word or note in the entire psalm. Please also remember the Psalms, not this one in particular, but the Psalms of and by itself, but the Psalms were written with the intent of being sung or even chanted. God is praised from the beginning to the end of this psalm. And the fact is, as we just read it here and we see it, the entire world is called upon to join in blessing and thanking God for who and what He is. Some commentaries suggest that it was perhaps written to be sung or even to be chanted by a festive procession as it approached and as it entered into the temple in Jerusalem. Verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. The whole psalm continues without any break or any division. And I make this point because not all psalms do that. Some of them you could actually take a psalm and you could read one of the verses. Now, they were not written with verses. Numbers were put into them much later, but that's not my point. This one is a continuation. It is one continuation. It was written that way. It is intended that way. So you have to take it as a whole. Also, another thing about this particular psalm is there is no mention of the author. None is not recorded. However, some suggest that David is quite possibly the author of this psalm, because we do know that he wrote Psalm 100, 103, 18, just to name a few that are right in that general area. There's nothing in it that says David wrote it. While others suggest that it was written after Judah had come out of the Babylonian captivity, after the temple had been rebuilt. And yet, again, it does not say who wrote it. But we do find it in the Bible. And it is an excellent example for us to think about and to learn examples from, to learn lessons from. So, let's get started into this Psalm of Thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, verse 1, the A part of the verse says, make a joyful noise or shout unto the Lord. Now, hold your place here. I'll put a marker here because we're going to come back and forth to this psalm throughout this message. And if you would, go with me, and we're going to read some other places that have these similar words, because I think it helps us to be able to do that. Psalm 2, uh, Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Now that word psalms could also be with songs, because the word actually means songs. And it's already stated that they were either sung, the intent was to either to sing them or to chant them. Back to Psalm 100, verse 1, the B part of the verse. It says, all you lands. The literal translation would be all the earth. And what that is saying is this, all people everywhere and of all times are invited to come and to praise the Almighty God. So this is not in itself just a psalm that is written to the church of God. Many psalms are written, and I would have to say it is written to and for the church. This one isn't. This one is written to every person who has ever lived. Yes, we get more benefit out of it because we know this, and we are the body of Jesus Christ, and so we know this, and so we have this attitude at all times. That's the intent. Psalm 100 in verse 2, the A part of the verse, serve the Lord with gladness. This word gladness in the Hebrew, and what the Hebrew word, I'm not even going to talk about the word itself. The Hebrew word is really a very strong and very powerful and very effective word here. It's a, in other words, what I'm saying is that it means gladness and rejoicing. In other words, this is what happens at a party. This would be like the attitude that is going on at a party. The Hebrew word that is used here for gladness comes from a verb that means to be glad or to be cheerful or to be merry. In fact, the sense of the word means to brighten up. And what that's talking about, it is referring to when something good happens. It's when our face lights up or brightens up because we are glad and we are excited. An example might be something like the crowd reaction, or like we would see at a football game. We see it. We watch it on television. You go to the game and you see everybody's face are brightened up and all of this. This is how we're to come before God. This is what this is saying. But we can get this example. We can see what it is talking about by looking at that. Another point that we see at this point here in this Psalm 100 is that to notice that almost every phrase in this psalm contains this kind of call to action. And I'm not going to go into detail on all the Hebrew words and all of the verses, but almost every phrase has that kind of sense, some kind of call to action. And we're doing this before God. Remember how it started out. Remember the first verse. Come before God. Make a joyful noise. Shout to the Lord, all ye lands. So we're coming to the presence of God, and this is what the sense is supposed to be. And in almost all phrases in this verse, in its verses, it has this kind of call to action. Continuing on in Psalm 100 in verse 2, and the B part of the verse, it says, come before his presence with singing. Or as it could be, and as it is translated in some more modern translations, with a cry of joy. In other words, this is not the time to be quiet. This is not the time to be silent. Now, I know we have a history in the church of we don't out loud praise God except when we're singing. We don't know how to do it the other way. We don't really know how to do what this verse is actually saying. Maybe we should learn. Maybe we should practice. Maybe we should experiment. I mean, this is before God. The point is here, even if we can only make a joyful noise, then we do it. Now, what I also want us to understand here, at this point in this psalm, this is the coming up to. We're not even into the presence of God. We're not even in the building. We're not even in the temple. We're not even in the house of worship yet. We're on the way to it. Is that our attitude? Psalm 100, verse 3, the A part, know you that the Lord, He is God. The phrase, know you that the Lord, He is God, the sense is something like, and I'm taking some kind of license here, is not exactly what the Hebrew is saying, but the sense of the word is, know that the Lord, He is good. The sense of it is, be sure, because after all, this is a certain fact. God is God. He is God. Then going on, verse 3, the B part, it is He that made us and not we ourselves. Or as one of the alternate translations has it, it says, and His we are. In other words, we belong to God. We belong to God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We belong to God. We are His. The sense is, He made us. We did not make ourselves. He is the Creator. We are not. And then the C part of the verse is, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Brother, we need to remember, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, hold your place because I want to read a couple of other places that talks about this kind of thing. Psalm 74, verse 1. And God, why have you cast us off forever? This is a question they're saying. Why did you cast us off? Why did your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? And you read all of those verses, but come on down to verse 13. This is still in Psalm 70. Come down to now Psalm 79 in verse 13. Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. That's the attitude that we're supposed to be having. This is the attitude that I'm talking about that I want us to have. The attitude of gratitude, a phrase that I'm using here in this particular message as we look forward to this day. Psalm 95 and verse 7. Psalm 95, verse 7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. When we really consider the whole psalm, Psalm 100 I'm referring to, we could state, that thanksgiving flows from verse 3. It's sort of a build-up in verses 1 and 2, and we come to verse 3. It's really, thanksgiving is flowing from here. This attitude of thanksgiving is really flowing from here. In other words, we know who God is, and we know how He approaches us, and we know we are in Him, or we belong to Him. Isn't that in enough itself to be truly thankful for? Because we're coming and we know who we're coming before. We're coming for God. Therefore, we have been offered, as members of the body of Jesus Christ today, as true believers, we have been offered a great freedom, a great honor to enter into his gates, which is what we come immediately to in verse 4. So let's go to verse 4, Psalm 100 in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So let's notice the A part, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and the B part, and into his courts with praise. Talking here, speaking here about gates and courts, those words point out first and foremost to public worship. In the context, to the temple worship. And so you could say, oh, therefore you are concluding that it was written at that time when the temple was rededicated and they're doing it there. Not necessarily, because David wrote about the temple because he was going to build the house to God. You know, so I don't know if David wrote it or if it was written here. It's really immaterial, but it is focusing on public worship. In other words, to put it in our terms, it's once you get to church. It's once you're here. This is what this is talking about. And yet, in the Hebrew, the way the wording is, it could also be focused on any and all places of worship. It doesn't have to be church. It doesn't have to be at the temple. That's not what it is. It is not limited to that. Obviously, by the time you come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, we are to be thankful unto him and we are to bless his name. So obviously when we get, go back and say what I said, once we come to church, that is to be the attitude that we have when we come in. So in other words, the sense here, that what I'm trying to get across is, the sense here is when we enter through his gates, that is, when we come into the house of worship, to the church of God, we need to be thankful that we have this privilege, that we have this honor, that we have this blessing. And when we enter into his courts, we praise him because of the permission that he has given to us to do so. It is a realization in our minds and in our hearts and in our attitudes whenever we come into church. This is not out of duty. This is honor. We have been honored to be here. And we are to come with that attitude and that frame of mind in our thinking. And then going back to verse 4, the C part, be thankful unto him and give thanks unto him. That's what it says in the New International Version, and bless or praise his name. Let's look at a couple of other places that talk about that, the blessing and praising his name. Psalm 96 and verse 2. Sing 96 verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Not just the day of Thanksgiving, not just on the Sabbath, but day to day, or as it could be traded, day by day, which means each and every day we're to be doing this. We obviously, on the Sabbath, on the holy days, when we come into his presence, we are to be doing this. When we come into his courts, we are to be praising him and blessing him because he's given us the permission and the honor to us to be able to do this. But we're to bless his holy name all the time, every day, not just on the day of Thanksgiving or not just on the Sabbath. Psalm 145 and verse 21. Psalm 145 verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his name forever and ever. Again, the phrase in the Hebrew here, forever and ever, it is implying at all times. Not just when we're at church, but at all times. What I want to do now is I want to draw a little bit more attention to this entering into his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts, into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And in doing so, when doing that for us today as true believers, I think that we need to realize, I think that we need to focus on it, and I think we need to address it, that we have a greater entry into his presence. Now, what I'm talking about is we could see more blessed than the time of the Old Testament. When they did it in the Old Testament, they did it, and they were told to do so. It's even more of a blessing when you really think about it for us today. And you could go, oh, why was it more of a blessing for us today than then? The reason is because at Jesus' death, dying on the cross, dying in our place, we're told that the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. You can see that. I'm not going to read it. It just simply states those words. Matthew 27, verses 50-51 is what it says that it happened. Because what I want us to see, brethren, is today we can now draw into his gates fully with praise. They could enter into the temple at that time and praise and bless God because of who he was. But the Savior, the Messiah, had not come. He's already come. It's happened back here for us. We have more of a reason to do this. And we tend to take it for granted. We have full access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us. We have been accepted before the Father. Not all people of the world have been yet. I said earlier this psalm is for all people, all times, have lived, are living, and are even yet going to live, in or out of the church. All are invited to come before God. And some at a point in time, they all will do that. We do it now. That's why I said it is more of a blessing to know this for us. Therefore, this is a victory that we have through Jesus Christ. The world has it waiting for them. They don't have it yet. We have it. And it is made real through Jesus being raised from the dead for all of us. And we can think about it. It talks about that God is good. His love is eternal. It is always there. Always has been. Always will be. And his faithfulness, or his truth, endures to all generations. That is why, as believers, we can get up each and every day and give thanks to our loving and awesome God because of what Jesus Christ has done, what God the Father has done through Jesus Christ for us. We can get excited. We need to get excited about this. His faithfulness does endure through all generations. And brethren, I want us to think about it and want to acknowledge out loud, that is why we desire to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And that is why we desire to enter into his gates, and we do enter into his gates with praise. Then we come to verse 5. Psalm 100 in verse 5, the A part. For, or because, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Literally, what that would be saying is, his mercy is forever. There is no ending. It's always, always has been, and it goes back and forward. I want us to notice, I'm going to give you some places where the phrase or the words, his mercy endures forever. That phrase occurs over 40 times in the King James Version of the Bible. You think it's a pretty important phrase? I think it's a pretty important phrase. I think it's something that we need to incorporate into our mind, into our thinking, and use it in part of our language from time to time even. Go to Psalm 118, verse 1. Psalm 118 in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endures forever. You understand this is talking about, oh, give thanks to God. This is just generally speaking. Anybody and everybody has been told they need to do this. Israel, they were selected by God, the chosen people, to do this. Then he goes in verse 3 and he's talking about the ministry. And then he comes to verse 4. Let them now say that fear the Lord say that his mercy endures forever. That's all of us. You can read all of this, but drop down to verse 29. So we're not going to read all the verses. We're going to read many, but not all. Verse 29. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Another place, Psalm 136, verses 1 through 26. I'm not going to read all those verses, but that's how many verses are in this psalm. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. This use of gods and lords is significant, but I'm not going to talk about it. Verse 26. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. And there are others. Over 40 times that phrase is used in the Bible. So go back to Psalm 100, verse 5, the B part of the verse. His mercy, or that word mercy could be kindness, or it could even be pity. It doesn't mean, oh, I pity you. It's not that. It's not that. It's a different kind of word, but his mercy is everlasting, or as it could be, is without end. Go to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Lamentations 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. The reason we aren't consumed is because of his compassion, because of his mercy because his mercy endures forever. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Brother, we need to focus on the fact that his truth is also everlasting. It will never change. When you really stop and think about it, Jesus could be stated as being the personification of truth, and he will never change. Show you two places, John 14, verse 6, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now go to Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So let's go back to Psalm 100, Psalm 100, verse 5, the C part. And his truth endures to all generations. And his truth, or as it could be stated, as it could be translated, his faithfulness endures to all generations. Literally, that means to generation and generation. And that would be saying that it is forever. That his truth, that his faithfulness is forever and ever. There is no end to it. You see, brethren, every person who has ever lived or will live, and I include us in that, all our hopes are in God's faithfulness. Now, what I mean by that is that he will keep his promise to all of us, to all of humanity who have lived, that are lived, and are yet going to be alive, that he will forgive us, that he delivers us, that he cleanses us, and he gives us the rest in his kingdom forever, even if they are not yet aware of this. It is there for all of mankind as it is for us today. And we can't get excited about this? That is the real hope for all of mankind. Meaning that his mercy, that his faithfulness endures forever. It's going to happen forever because he said so. So we'll go back to Psalm 100. As the writer, whoever the writer is, invites the world, all people who have ever lived, are alive, and are yet going to live, all the people of the world, he invites to join him to praise God. And he sets the example by closing in praise and thanksgiving to God. He says, this is what you need to do, this is how you do it, and so let's do it. The phrase, for the Lord is good, is implying he is the only one that is good. Matthew 19, verse 17. And he said unto him, and Jesus said unto him, why call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. And you can also see it's also stated in Mark 10, verse 18. Also in Luke 18 in verse 19. So we go back to Psalm 100 in verse 5 in the C part. His truth endures to all generations. And I've already said that, but I'm going to restate it here. That is to every generation, to generation and to generation, and it's certainly implying that it will never end. Wow. Can you see why this is called a psalm of thanksgiving? I can. So, brethren, as we approach this coming Thanksgiving, even with all of the troubles going on, the negative news reports and the evils that are going on in the world, and fires here and floods there, and all the bad stuff that is going on in the world, in our country, in our local neighborhoods, I hope that each and every one of us would, between now and Thanksgiving at least, meditate on Psalm 100. And that each and every one of us would focus on what it calls us to do. That is, it has called us into God's presence. It has called us into God's goodness. And it has called us into our worship of Him, of who and what is God. This is an incredible psalm whenever you really think about it, analyze it, and think about it. Therefore, brethren, on this coming special day set aside as a national holiday of giving thanks, called Thanksgiving Day, let us especially remember the greatest giver of all. Remember that God has outgiven us all, and He always will. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not part of Psalm 100. but it could be an addendum in our minds. You take Psalm 100, and it's to all the world, all people who've ever lived. And then you add this verse to it. He's already given us everything. He's given us all of those things. So let us do it individually, as a family, as a community, as a congregation, as a nation. Let us give thanks. Let us sing or make a joyful noise. Let us rejoice. Let us celebrate God's goodness. Celebrate His love. Celebrate His mercy to all of us, to all of mankind. So, brethren, please have a very safe and rejoicing and thankful upcoming holiday. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you, and thank you for all that you are and all that you do.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.